Some teachers have a calling. I'm not one of them. I don't hate teaching. I don't love it either. That's also my general stance on adolescence. I understand that one day they'll rule the world and we'll all have to live with the consequences. But there's only so much I'm willing to do to mitigate that outcome. You'll never catch me leaping atop my desk, quoting Browning, Shakespeare, or Jay-Z. I don't offer my students sage advice or hard-won wisdom. I don't dive into the weeds of their personal lives, parsing the muck of their hormone-addled brains. And I sure as hell never learned as much from them as they did from me. It's just a job, like any other. It has a litany of downsides, starting with money and ending with money, and a host of other drawbacks in between. There are a few perks. I like having summers off. I like winter and spring breaks. I like not having a boss breathing over my shoulder. I like books and talking about books, and occasionally meeting a student who makes me see the world sideways. But I don't get attached. I don't get involved. That was the plan, at least. I came to Stonebridge Academy because it was the only place where I was sure of a no-questions-asked job offer. The dean of students, Gregory Stinson, is an old family friend. I don't know if he offered me the job knowing everything or nothing. Back then, Greg never spoke of unpleasant things. Why I wanted to give it another go is beyond me. It's not like I thought of teaching as my life's work. I doubt I'll ever have that. Maybe I just wanted to wrap up my career in education with a memory that didn't make my skin crawl. It was July 2009 when I first laid eyes on the campus. During my preliminary visit, Greg and I hammered out my contract in his musty old office, which overlooked 50 acres of dense woods. Under the thick brush of summer, I couldn't see the veins and arteries of the interconnected hiking and cross-country skiing trails that Stonebridge boasted of so proudly in its brochure. It seemed like too much space for 400 or so high school students. Despite the classic prep school architecture, cathedral buildings, everything stone, I had heard rumors about the lax academic environment. Warren Prep kids had called Stonebridge students stoners. I considered that detail its most attractive quality. Greg was sure I was perfect for the libertarian style of his school, and his certainty compensated for my hesitation. We discussed my course schedule for the new year. I would teach 3 English literature classes and 1 American lit. After that, Greg took me on a brief tour of the campus. His office and several classrooms were housed in an imposing stone structure that had no formal name. Later, I learned that the students called it headquarters. It was the only building on campus without a literary appellation. You know the game where you take your first pet's name and add the street you grew up on, and voila, there's your porn name? I think Stonebridge used a similar formula for naming their buildings and recreational grounds. Take the last name of a British or occasionally Irish poet or author and add house, manor, hall, field, commons, or square to it. The center of campus was Fleming Square, Students' Aid and Dahl Dining Hall, Tolkien Library and Samuel Beckett Gymnasium flanked Fielding Field. Across from headquarters, adjacent to Beckett Gym, was the headliner of the tour. The Oscar Wilde Bathhouse. We passed through double doors with a sign that read, "No students allowed, no exceptions." The marble compound, which housed a whirlpool tub, sauna, and steam showers, was apparently an extravagant gift from a former student. "If this doesn't seal the deal, I don't know what will," Greg said. I had a feeling that Greg was using the bathhouse as camouflage. I suggested he show me faculty housing. In silence, Greg led me across the square to a 4-story brick building. There was a heavy drizzle outside, which made everything look like it was on the other side of a cheap, transparent shower curtain. We strolled past Dickens House, the boys' dormitory, and yes, they called it Dick House. Next to Dickens was a similar 4-story brick structure. The sign above the door read Wolf Hall. "Yes, after you," Greg said, opening the thick paneled door. "No thanks," I said, taking a step back. There was no point in entering the building. I would not live among them. That was a deal breaker, I explained. I thanked Greg for the tour and told him I had to be on my way. He told me I was being rash. I had driven 2 hours. The least I could do was take some time to think it over.